Hello and welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And before we get to this week's album, I just have a correction from last week. I said that J Bentley returned to BR for Back to the Unknown, the EP that followed Into the Unknown. But he actually didn't come back until Suffer, their next full album. Tim Galagos played bass on Back to the Known. Also, Gurwitz wasn't in the band at that point either. He produced Back to the Known, but he didn't officially come back until Suffer. So Greg Hetson handled all the guitar work on Back to the Known.
When the
Also,
coast was clear.
I was watching a little interview with Greg Graffin. It was kind of this thing Loudwire does, Wikipedia fact or fiction, like asking somebody various things on Wikipedia are true or not. And he mentioned that Eddie Vedder sang on the song Watch It Die from Recipe for Hate, like sang a verse of the song.
Really?
Yeah, he sang, I knew he sang backup on a couple of songs. I didn't know he sung a verse of Watch It Die. And I know that song well. I just never placed his voice. He actually did a good job of impersonating Graffin. Right, and now to this week's album, which is from 2007, Bootlicky Ka S. Oh, yeah, Bootlicky Ka S. I'm changing the pronunciation to what it is on the album. I realized it was different from what I was saying last time, and because I forgot that the U at the end of a lot of words in Japanese is silent. By Maximum Hormone. Maximum Hormone is a Japanese heavy metal band from Hachioji, Tokyo, who are best known for their unconventional and experimental style of alternative metal music. Over the career, they have found success incorporating elements of heavy metal, hardcore punk, hip hop, punk, pop, and ska into their sound. Stylistically, their music runs the gamut from being dark and serious to ironic and humorous, often with drastic shifts in tempo and mood over the course of a single song. The band's eclectic nature frequently draws comparisons to System of a Down. When asked about the group's name in an interview, guitarist Maximum Nerio stated, "Take it as you like. It means anything from the Japanese cuisine for cooking animal innards to the sensation of the maximum amount of your hormones coming to the boil. Although when we go abroad, people often think it's just sort of some kind of sexual energy drink. Horomon is a style of yakiniku, Japanese barbecue, where many of the typically discarded internal organs are grilled into bite-sized pieces and eaten. Once again, I'm glad to be a vegetarian."
Yeah, it's not, yeah, I'm sure it's fine. I'll try it once.
Bootlicky Ka S is the band's third studio album. Three tracks from the album went on to be used in two animes. What's Up People and Zetsubou Billy were used as the opening and ending, respectively, of episodes 20 through 37 of Death Note, and the song Akagi was used for the anime of the same name. The album was released on March 14th, 2007, by VAP. I couldn't find a producer listed anywhere, so I'm just going to go ahead and assume it was produced by the band. And it features Daisuke on Unclean and lead and backing vocals, Maximum Nerio on guitar, backing, and clean lead vocals, Uechan on bass guitar and backing vocals, and Nao on drums, backing, and lead vocals. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons, but down in the description, if you're listening to this on YouTube or on our blog at johnandscotto.com, you'll find a link to Bootlicky Ka S on YouTube on Spotify, so you can listen along if you like. I could not find it on YouTube, which is weird. I can usually do that, but not this time.
Yeah.
On to track one, title track, Bootlicky Ka S, which, unfortunately, there are translations on Wikipedia. I have no idea if they're accurate, but I'm just going to go with this. It apparently translates to Up from the Ashes. Now, this is a band that I've known about for probably since like 2015, 2016, when I first got into Bandmade. On their YouTube channel, Akane the drummer, Kanami the lead guitarist, and Misa the bassist recorded these cover videos of playing them playing other people's music, and Akane covered a Maximum Hormone song. So I checked them out, and they've kind of been a small doses band for me.
What songs did they cover?
I don't remember which I forgot to check. I don't remember which song she covered or what the other two did, but I did check into Maximum Hormone after that, and They're a band I like in small doses. Back specifically on this track, I love the harsh guitar tone and what I'm calling Daisuke's demented goblin voice.
That's a good way of putting it.
It's also got a great groove. The bass tone is huge.
Yeah.
There's a section that reminds me, and off and on they do this, remind me a lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I mean, right off the bat, they're just laying out what they are in this track. It's, yeah, you know, it's very Faith No More and System of a Down influenced. And, you know, it's mixed with some traditional Japanese mm-hmm. melodies in there, which made it interesting. Yeah. I think after repeated listens, I found it one of the more weaker tracks mm-hmm. on the album, actually. But it's still a good intro.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers in here, too, particularly the bassist. I mean, a lot of bass players are very influenced by Foley.
True.
And
right.
Whenever now this drummer comes in, the woman, it gets very poppy.
Yes.
She just has this kind of classic kind of Japanese, you know, pop voice.
Right.
Great kind of anthemic double-timed chorus. But yeah, it's just kind of it's kind of the opening statement.
Yeah. You know?
On to track two, Zetsubo Billy, Billy in Despair. Love how heavy this one starts off.
Yeah.
It's just pure metal. Love the kind of moody mid-tempo verse. And then
I'm kind of thinking it as it's, you know, starting, like, they're just doing kind of the Linkin Park cadence kind of thing. And then that breakdown happens.
Yeah, and then Daisuke comes in and it just gets real loud.
And I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to be at home here.
And then another great catchy chorus. They're really good at the hooky choruses.
Yes.
And then
it works its way back to it, not in an obvious build, but you're kind of, you know, you know, wandering around a bit in this kind of other heavy, dark world. And then it comes back to the chorus almost unexpectedly.
And then that moody kind of, you know, a Linkin Park-ish part comes back, but now is singing it.
Yeah.
And it gives it a completely different feel. And then we get this insanely heavy breakdown. And I love the bass tone over the whispered parts. And Daisuke's rapping was very impressive. He's fast.
Yeah.
And then we get more now. And her voice, just with this ridiculously heavy music, just adds this little pop element. I think, yeah, they are very System. But the thing that's... because I was listening to, actually, System's last album, because it was the released closest to this, 2 years apart. The difference is that Maximum has a sense of humor.
Well, I think, like I said before we started, I think this is a lot more closer to their first album.
Okay,
where there is,
I haven't heard the first album.
Where there is some absurdity to it.
Okay.
I think it was Dave Grohl that pointed it out. I hadn't really thought of it before, of like... the, you know, comparing them to like old, you know, like Genesis. And I was like, really, what?
Okay. Just the pomp and absurdity.
Yeah.
On
but
to,
I think that was the first one. Oh, okay. Yeah, on to the next one.
Yeah, on to the next track. Track three, Kuso Breakin' No Breakin' Lily. Shit Breakin' Brain Breakin' Lily.
And this is, wow, this was just not expected.
They go ska on this one.
They go ska. I mean, you don't even see it coming. You're just like, all right, they're doing, you know, there's going to be another metal song. And then all of a sudden, you're in a ska song. And it's just like, wait, what?
Great groove, though. It sounds a bit like an anime theme. It starts with this music box, which also caught me off guard.
Right.
And then it suddenly switches to death metal.
Yes. I mean, it's 2007, so you're not really expecting ska anywhere at that point, because it was kind of done and over with.
Well, so the big ska craze was, but I mean, ska goes back to the 70s.
Of course, you know, yeah. Of course.
I'm a big Madness fan. But,
well, yeah, but there's just, I mean, there are times where it was done, kind of, you know?
It was after No Doubt and that whole big thing in the 90s, yeah. So yeah, you don't expect them to go ska, and then
like,
death
No Doubt
metal.
Kind of killed it, you know? I mean, before that, you had a lot of cool ska bands, true, like Mephiscopheles and Bim Scala Bim and all that, you know? But then, you know,
Boss
the
Tones
Boss
and No
Tones,
Doubt, kind of,
and then No Doubt, and it kind of became, oh, that's grandpa music, great. They're going to do beer commercials now. But yeah, so to see this, I was just like, points for surprising me. So my notes.
But then to go to death metal from this like, poppy ska song.
Right. The only thing that would make this perfection is if they had just combined all of it into one verse at the end. I would have been like, oh my God, you know, star this track immediately.
And the metal section, it's just like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
It's in and out.
Right.
Which I kind of love that it's just 15 seconds of just aggressive, deep death metal, and then back to the ska.
A growl, and then...
And then back to the ska. And wait, what the fuck was that?
Right. So I know I'm in for a good album after listening to this.
Only issue for me, there were some parts that got a little too pop punk. Yeah, I'm not a big pop punk fan.
There's so much of everything. Well, yeah, especially on that track, yeah, there was like a power pop kind of thing going, and then the ska, and then the metal. And it just, they actually do, if you really look at the album as a whole, they do different pop from different eras.
True.
Like, and that was kind of a zeros thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we'll move forward with as we go on.
On the track four, Louisiana Bob. Love the two different distorted sounds in two different ears, like two different kinds of distortion, one in each ear. Love that. Great kind of insane metal verse, and then back to the catchy clean chorus. Really great rapid fire rapping.
Yeah, this is more like Mr. Bungle than Faith No More, actually.
Love the deep...
Where it's more serious and harder, and the rapping is just more frantic.
Love the deep, clean bass tone in the bridge, because a lot of times it's distorted, but here he goes full clean, and the chanted vocal, that was really fun. And
there's so many vocaling styles going on, too.
Well, because there's like, three
within
vocals.
The same verse. Yeah.
And I can't believe how high his goblin voice can get.
Like, Serge Tarkanian does that, you know, a bit on that one System of a Down, just for a little bit.
Daisuke does it every song, just about. And
yeah.
I don't know what I love about that voice, but it just gets, I just love that. It's just so insane.
And this one's a lot of fun. It's almost like a Weird Al song in a way. I mean, there's just so much swirled in. Like, you could pick out some country, you could pick out traditional Japanese, and of course, a lot of metal.
Yeah. On to track five, Policeman Benz. Love the quiet, kind of syncopated opening riff. Great whisper vocals.
It's almost like an Eddie Van Halen kind of riff, or like an Iron Maiden kind of intro.
And then there's great dynamics with the vocals. It goes from whispered to, like, you know, death grunts and everything in the middle. And then there's a really nice punk section. You know, throwing in one more style. Some great surfy drums when the opening riff comes back toward the end. And then it just ends with pure chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, the song is just chaos. Track six, Black Yen Power G-Man Spy. Great groove in the beginning, sort of a rubbery guitar tone. Love that. Love how high the bass is in the mix. It's another, some more great fast rapping. And then
it
goes...
probably their catchiest.
Yeah. And then it goes straight up hardcore for the chorus.
Yeah.
And there's a short break where there's a bass in each ear. They like split the... Instead of putting the bass down the middle like you're supposed to, they split it to each ear. Really interesting effect. On to track seven, Akagi. The beginning was kind of power ballady, but I like the vocal melody in the beginning. And then it just gets incredibly hardcore.
Right. This one, I would say, is the most Faith No More-like song on the album.
Okay.
But I mean, even you can't tell you're imitating them because, it's like nailing jello to the wall, kind of,
We were there. Actually, I have it recorded, but probably not going to use it as an outtake. We were discussing what to do next week, a little change in plans, and we were discussing either Faith No More or System, and you were talking about how Faith No More doesn't really have a style.
No, I mean they did, kind of like a Michael Bolton-ish kind of ballad, just a man at the end of King for a Day. I mean,
Was that
I
easy?
mean, they covered Easy,
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, they don't really have
almost
a
unironically.
I don't think it was ironic. I think they're just Commodores fans. Or at
Yeah,
least one of
yeah.
them is. But yeah, back to Akagi. I love how gets super hardcore, and then we get this kind of unsettling off kilter kind of Rage Against the Machine style riff.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call.
And then it cuts a really catchy chorus that suddenly gets really soft, and then back to the hardcore. It's just absolute stylistic gymnastics. And I watched a couple clips, not this specific song, but a couple of others, What's Up People and the title track. They pull this shit off perfectly live.
Oh, that's good.
It's not just it's just a studio thing. Now, one little issue, I think the burp at the end of this one was kind of unnecessary. There's just a random burp.
Yeah. Oh,
On to track 8, Kyokatsu, translation blackmail. Love how heavy it starts. Great gang vocals. And then more Demented Goblin. I just can't get enough of that. And then there's this soft poppy section after the Demented Goblin.
you get a lot of that on this, you get the contrast between the hardcore and the pop.
And then the second half of the chorus just goes a little too pop punk again. And then there's a duck sound at the end, which again, interesting choice.
Yeah, I don't think I think Spotify kind of cut it off a little bit. I was kind of wondering what the hell that was.
Was just a random duck sound at the end.
Random duck sound.
Track 9, Bikini Sports Ponchin,
This
Ponchin. Starts with this. Go ahead.
is my pick for strongest.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah,
It's my pick for weakest. Starts with this nice heavy dissonant syncopated riff, nice fast high screaming from Daisuke. But for me, they were getting a little predictable at this point. I was kind of seeing the formula.
it works its way pretty nicely from, I mean, I would say, yeah, they are doing a formula, but I think this one is where it works best. To go from the hardcore, and then it kind of gets like a little funky-ish, and then it just goes straight up disco.
I have a note. I like the hot, actually say disco-ish hot single note guitar part.
Right. And this, I think it just works best on this one out of because it's a formula they do use throughout this album, but this is definitely my favorite use of that formula.
Yeah, for me, this was when I started to see the formula. And there's also an issue I have with this, and I don't know if it's a Japanese thing, but it's this album and the latest Bandmade album, and a lot of their some a handful of their more recent songs. There's a lot shoved into the higher frequencies, and it's not the notes being played; it's the way things are EQ'd and the effects that are put on. There's a lot of very high frequencies going on, and I have a sensitivity to high frequencies. They wear out my ears. Always had, and aging doesn't help. I'm going to be 40 in a month, and you lose the high end of your, or sorry, 49 in a month.
I was gonna say,
Yeah, I'm going to
I
be,
mean, I was
sorry.
gonna lay off. I'm like, all right, if I know some women that are like
No,
still
sorry, I
27 or
misspoke.
whatever for the last
I'm going
30
to,
years, but
no, it doesn't help my point to lie about that. I'm going to be 49 in a month.
forgot how old you were.
But, as you get older, you lose the high end of your hearing. And I've never been a fan of super high frequencies to begin with, so there's a lot of high frequencies on this album. There's a lot packed into the upper register, and I think that just kind of wore me out, and that this is the point where I'm like, okay, I've starting to have it to get to the point where I've had enough in that respect. So that's why I picked it for weakest. On to track 10, What's Up People. Love the sound of the drums and the opening blasts. Love the kind of, I have gymnastic vocal, but it's two different people, so it's not really gymnastic. Goes back and forth between Daisuke with his deep grunts and this kind of high, clean vocal that Ryo is doing.
This would be my pick for weakest. It's, okay. I mean, he's pretty much doing a Surge impression here. Yeah, I mean, I can hear they're it. Doing the contrast between Surge's vocals
and Darren
and the growls. Yeah. Oh,
and yeah, Darren has a kind of softer thing he does, and yeah.
Right. So they were, it was just a little too obvious to be here. So,
yeah, yeah.
I mean,
now that you mention it, yeah, cool I do to, hear, like, a lot hear it, of...
but
yeah.
Yeah, this would nice, be my pick for weeks.
Nice, insistent groove in the first part of the chorus. Nice death grunts in the middle. Goblin rapping. Yeah, that I love that.
Like, if you listen to the last track on next week's album, remember this song, and, like, put the okay. two together, they're like, really, we're going for that.
And then it ends with this just incredibly fast section that turns into chaos. On to track 11, this title is a mouthful. Choo choo, lovely, moony moony, mora mora, purin purin, boran, niruru, niruru, vero vero. The track's title is based on an assortment of sound effects in Japanese. Choo-choo meaning the sound of a kiss, muni-muni, the sound of someone squeezing something soft, mura-mura, the sound of being horny, purin-purin, the sound with which large breasts are emphasized in anime, buron, the sound of something that pops out, nururu, the sound of something moving around in something wet and dirty, and nero nero, the sound made by a tongue going over something. Bear in mind that everything through muni muni is now, and then when it gets to mura mura, I'm gonna say Daisuke. I'd rather think it's Daisuke than Ryo, because Ryo and Nao are brother and sister.
This one, just, I mean, you had to pick my brains up off the floor for this one.
This band will do that to you.
I mean, it's like a metal version of the Grease soundtrack.
Now that you mention it, yeah, that chorus, I just say it's hilariously poppy, but it is very Grease.
Yes, it's like the last thing. I mean, just, I was kind of at the point of like, okay, you know, we kind of know what's coming next, kind of. And then this happens. It's just like, no, I did not see that coming. It's very Zappa, actually.
Yeah,
I mean, he would do the whole like 50s doo-wop kind of thing in like very weird ways. And of course, he didn't do it this heavy.
No, this heavy didn't exist when he was doing this thing.
No, he did not.
Then it gets real loud just on a dime and then goes super hardcore on a dime. And we get this really deep grunt in the hardcore section. And then some more shades of Red Hot Chili Peppers. Love the chimey bass sound. Yes, there is such a thing as chimey bass. And then this nice melodic.
Kind of like, the lyrics on this one, I like had to look up because I was like, what is he saying? Because it sounded like something he should not be saying. if you take like the sound. And think it's he's speaking English, but he wasn't.
No, I didn't connect anything to English. I did pick up a little English here and there. It's a thing with Japanese bands, but I didn't turn that into English.
Right. So I thought he was saying something that was no longer socially acceptable.
The neta neta?
I thought it was another the other F word.
Oh, that. See, I thought that with What's Up People, I thought fucker sounded like that occasionally.
And then I, you know, look up. I was like, "Oh, okay, that's what he's saying."
Yeah, but no. The explanation of the sound effects in the title pretty much gave you the point of the song.
Yes.
But then you know we get this insane pop metal thing with this nice you know melodic harmonized guitar solo.
It's probably the craziest song of the album.
Oh, absolutely. This is. You know, if you want a calling card for this band, this song is it, I think.
Yeah.
On to track 12, Shimi, translation Stain. Love the sludgy opening riff and the gang vocals. And then it just goes hardcore, super hardcore. And then it tones down for this very traditional melody from now. And then back to hardcore.
Probably, you know, as close to a straight up metal song that we've heard for a while. Like probably since the first couple tracks. And after the craziness of the track before, it's just kind of like a, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I picked it for favorite, and I think that's probably why, because like after all that insanity, it's just nice to be back to some good sludgy metal and hardcore.
It is good old metal, and it's not bad. It just, I mean, it's in a sea of just outright insanity.
I mean, I love the goblin voice panning from left to right, like once in the left, once in the middle, once in the right. That was nice. It goes very death metal before going back to now's part at the end. You know, the death metal into that very traditional kind of Japanese melody was a great contrast. And on to track 13, Koi no Mega Lover of Love. Very catchy opening section, very poppy chorus.
Love kind of like a Ramones feel to the beginning.
A little bit, yeah. Love the heavily distorted guitar that comes in after that. More great high goblin vocals. Great, fast, clean rapping this time.
And then the pop they go for here is some mid-80s stuff.
See, it went a little too pop. Yeah, it did go a little too poppy for me in those sections, as mid-tempo sections. I was thinking more pop punk, but you're right, it is more 80s.
Yeah, those keyboards are just so glossy, mid to late 80s keyboards. Right. And they're just having fun with it. Even you're going to go, woo! I mean, it's almost, it's like a heavy version of Kiss.
Yeah. And then there's a track 14. There's an untitled kind of hidden track at the end, 23 seconds long. I don't think it's on Spotify.
No, I didn't get to hear it.
And I checked YouTube, it wasn't there either.
For it.
Yeah. So do you recommend
it? That's a first for us.
Yeah.
We had a track that we could not review.
Yeah, you oftentimes we're cutting out tracks because, you know, there's like deluxe editions on Spotify. So do you recommend
it? I'd recommend it, but I didn't get to hear track 14. No, I'm going to recommend this. I had a lot of fun with this. I needed this, honestly, with the horrible things we've been reviewing for Zombie Takeout and last week's...
Things of the Unknown.
I had a lot of fun with this from beginning to end, honestly.
It's
rare to find a good new metal band that to go to for me.
I recommend it, but in small doses. I was a bit worn out and kind of bored by the end. It's like a workout. You know, if you work out too hard or for too long, it's just a bit much. And this for me was a bit of a workout.
You know. And honestly, yeah, I think I agree. Smaller doses would even be better, actually, because there's just so much to take in. And with, you know, 13 tracks, it is a lot.
Way to go. If you listen to a song or two, maybe three at a time, they're amazing. But just don't go for a full album in one sitting.
Well, I did it three times this week, so...
That's it for Boo Ikikai S. Until next time, and we'll be revealing System of a Down's self-titled first album. That'll be an interesting comparison, because I do remember them having more sense of humor, like, before Toxicity.
Yes.
Because that's when they started getting a bit too serious, I think.
Well, although I think the stuff from Steal This Album might have been before, I'm not sure. It was a lot of, but that had a lot of too. That's one of my favorites. It has, you know, a lot of weird songs on that too.
Yeah, I was skimming through their last album, Hypnotize. You know, and they're another band for me that I like in small doses. They're great at what they do, or were. Are they still together?
I think they're coming back together.
Okay.
I mean, they've done a few songs. They're doing some charity gigs, actually. Okay. I think they're doing a charity gig this Saturday for the genocide,
Armenian, yeah.
The Armenians, yeah. Actually, I think it's not the genocide. I think it's the latest war.
Oh, wow.
They're trying to help refugees for that.
Yeah. But I was checking out Hypnotize. They're great, but the album is very serious.
Oh, yes. Those last two, well, the last, you know, it was supposed to have been a double album.
Okay.
I don't know why you split it.
Mm.
But yeah, it was very serious.
So,
except for old school Hollywood, where they're, you know, talking about Tony Danza and playing a rock and jock baseball kind of thing.
I just was kind of skimming through. I didn't really connect that, but yeah. So it was quite the contrast from this. Anyway, until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.